All right, good morning, everybody. So, Pastor B showed us the clip from the comrades, and it really was one of my favorite comrades that we've had. I think it was because of the praying, but it just, something was special about that one. And specifically, so on the comrades day on that Sunday, I was coming out of the loo, and around that pillar right there, there was a scene that moved me so deeply. There, against that pillar, sat Tianet and her dad. And they weren't quite facing each other. They were like at 45-degree angles. So Tianet was almost facing towards the door there, and dad was facing this way. And it was the most cutest thing that I had seen. And Tianet sat there with her father, and they were slightly facing each other. And dad had a box of steers on his lap. He was sitting there in his box of steers in his lap, and she was eating off the box like a little girl does. It was the most cutest thing. And so she was eating off her dad's lap like a little daddy, and at that moment, I didn't see Tianet as a young woman. I didn't see Tianet as a mother. I didn't see Tianet as a wife, as she is. I saw her as a 5-year-old, 6, 7-year-old little girl eating off her daddy's plate. And it hit me that she's still her daddy's baby girl. And will always be her daddy's little girl. And that small moment said everything. It was love. It was closeness. It was a permission to share. And I mean, as we're celebrating Father's Day, I remember even making a comment. Tianet actually gave me a chip. I actually made a comment because I was like, oh. Like, it moved me so much. And maybe it's because I'm a new dad to 2 little girls. And so I know that feeling, that joy, when my child comes and sits on my lap and eats off my plate, even though I've just cooked the same meal. We did the same meal. I put in, who's hungry? Me. I put in, I don't like this. I don't like that. And then when I sit down in front of the TV to watch my rugby, and there it is, there they'll come. And they'll want to eat off my plate. It's the same food. But it gives me so much joy. Now, maybe again, it's because in our culture, in our African culture, well, I mustn't say African culture, because maybe there's some people who'll be like, Aibu, we don't have that. But at the Shoba household, I should say, when I was growing up, pining and being around adults as they eat was a no-no. Hey, Dad? Yeah, no, it was a no-no. It was rude. It was also rude to ask for food off your mom's plate. Like, ma, tsolungipi. No, aibu. I'm a kitchen. You're going to get dished up a kitchen. Don't come ask from adults. All right? I'm a kitchen. No, tatsu kudla kwakhe kitchen. And so, it's not something that's a norm within our culture. But I do remember when my dad would sometimes share with me and my brother. And like I said, it wasn't the norm. But sometimes he'd share with me and my brother. And whenever he did, it would make me so happy. I'd be like, wow, I get to eat off my dad's plate. Like, I loved it. And so that moment stuck with me. And so today I really want us to celebrate our fathers. It is Father's Day. And I want us to celebrate our fathers. And so ever since I became a dad, I've experienced new depth of love. A love that is selfless. A love that can even be surprising. A love that is so deep. And dare I say it, a love divine. Me being a father has taught me more about God's love for us. a love that is unexplainable. You can't explain that love. A father's love. And children are just so important. And obviously, I mean, I say that and I'm biased because I'm in children's ministry. But children are so important. Without children, guys, there are no families. Children are what causes families. At the core of a family is children. Without children, there are no families. We need children for us to be able to have families. We need children for us to be able to call ourselves fathers, mothers, grandpas, grandmas, aunties, uncles, nephew, nieces, you name it. It all has to do with children. One of the first commandments with a promise was the one that says, honor your father and your mother so that it may go well with you. And I love the fact that you guys are sitting there. Did you hear that? Good. Honor your fathers and your mothers so that things may go well with you. God designed this dynamic on purpose. He knew how vital it is to honor those who shape us, to honor those who protect us, to honor those who guide us, to honor those who love us. And as I was prepping for this sermon, I thought about how God knew and created us differently, and that men long to be respected and women long to be loved. And so when I consider these scriptures in Exodus and in Ephesians, I feel that we should really focus on loving our mothers and respecting our fathers. Do you hear that, teens? Now take this with a pinch of salt. I'm not saying just love mom and don't respect mom, and just respect dad and don't love dad, okay? They're still equal. We still need to do both. I'm talking directly to you. But dad really wants respect, and mom really yearns to be loved. That's how God created us. And so, I feel as though, yeah, amen. And so I feel as though we should be a focus on our mothers. And so when we respect our fathers and we love our mothers, by doing this, we will be honoring our parents. And when we honor our parents, we are not just following rules. We are echoing the love and the order that God has created. Now, you know, there was someone else. There is someone else who has a father. A father who loved his creation so much that he allowed his one and only son to be killed, to be humiliated, and so that you and I can call his father our father, so that we can be adopted into his family and be the children of the God Most High. There is someone else, a son, who had a father, heavenly father, and in obedience, Jesus laid down his life and he brought honor, not just by words, by sacrificial service, so that we too can call God our Father. And in Romans 8, verses 14 to 17, and in Galatians 4, verses 4 to 7, we are reminded that through Jesus, we are adopted into his family. And these scriptures read like this, and I'll start with Romans. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves. It does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. And in Galatians 4, it reads, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs to God, and co-heirs with Christ. And if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." That was still Romans. Here's Galatians. "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' So you no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir." And so the question we should ask is, why did Jesus come? And if we are co-heirs with Jesus, what should we be doing? And in Mark 10, verse 45, we get our answer. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And if we are co-heirs, if we are co-heirs with Jesus, if we are now adopted into God's family, it is only right that we follow what Jesus did. And if we are disciples, we should do the same. We serve others. And when we serve others, we honor our Father. Jesus came to serve. Jesus came to serve. Jesus came to heal. Jesus prayed for others. Jesus served others. Jesus loved others. Jesus prayed for others. Jesus was there for others. That's what Jesus did. He served. And so we are encouraged to do the same. Some of you might be like, well, how do I do healing? You have no idea how God can use you. You have no idea that someone who asked for prayer, like we have asked now that you can go into the prayer thing, God uses that person. You have no idea what encouragement can do for another person. Let God use you so that you can serve. We all sit and with our limited beliefs of who we are, but God has got a bigger version, a bigger plan for us. And so we must let Jesus, we must let God allow us to touch others and encourage others like Jesus did. We need to honor God by serving God. Honor isn't just a lip service, it's a lifestyle. It's obedience. It's sacrifice. Somewhat like parenting. It's like Jesus. And so I want to land here today. We are called to serve. We are called to live lives that bring honor to our Father. Not just on Sunday, not just on Father's Day, but every day. When Jesus left, he left us with this instruction in Mark 16, verses 14 to 15. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe. Those who had seen, refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation." He said to them, do as I had done. Jesus had preached the gospel. And so he said to his 11, go. Go and preach the gospel. Go and serve. Go and be there for others. Go and do the job that I have been doing. And so we are all called to do that. We are all called to serve. And just because you're a teenager does not mean that you get out of it. And it's like, that's for big people stuff. We are all called to serve. You can serve at school. You can serve here at church. And currently we're doing nation changes. That's an opportune time for us to be able to serve. Now, we all know that I went to Zambia. I was very nervous about Zambia. I was very nervous. Turned out, I remember coming to JJ and be like, I don't know what I'm going to do there. My gosh. And going into a mission, it moves you, it changes you. It's something that shifts in your heart. And again, I'm biased. I love children. And so when we went to Hillcrest Presbyterian School, which we helped plant, they honored us so much that they named the school after Hillcrest Presbyterian Church. There's not a hill on site. It is flat. It is as flat. I mean, if you have been to the Free State, that thing is flat. And there it is, Hillcrest Presbyterian School. And those kids walk 30 kilometers every single day. 15 there and 15 back. And they don't even bunk. You know, I would be like, yo, mom, peace out, bro. I'm tired. And I ain't going today. And so it moved me. We ran a holiday club. Again, I'm biased within the children. You can either do the other ones as well. There are other things in nation changes, but just the children are very important. There's something that happens, is my favorite part of holiday club. On Thursday, we have this hall filled with children who give their life to Christ for the first time. It is just the most beautiful. I get it. I get Monday, Tuesday, it's fun. By Thursday, I'm exhausted. I actually don't want to see a child. Shh. Shh. Don't shout. But Thursday just revitalizes my spirit all over again. Because that's when little children get to make Jesus their best friend. And so, we are called to serve. And I'm asking, look into that nation changes and see where it is that you can serve. I'm always biased whenever I'm here because I always end up mentioning Mackenzie. But Mackenzie has been serving. When we went to Zambia, she helped me out at Switch so that Switch didn't have to not run. I went to Joburg. Mackenzie came through. There are so many other ways. I know it mustn't be limited just to nation changes. This service thing needs to be a lifestyle, like we say. That's how we honor God. That we are servers. We are servants. We are servants to God. And how can you, where you sit, serve? I get it. Read your Bible. Yes, that's good. That's for you. Pray. Yes, that's good for you. But what are you doing to serve? How are you doing it, and how are you bringing honor to God through your service? There's some people who have, which had our confirmation. Beautiful service of old folk coming towards and coming with younger kids. Door stewards, welcome corner, sound desk. There's places that we can serve. How are you going to serve? So I'm inviting you, yes, you, to take a step forward towards service. Maybe when we go on our next mission to Zambia, maybe it's right here at home. Maybe it's in our community, which is what we're doing through Nation Changes. But let's not let honoring end with words. Let it lead to action. And so in conclusion, To every father and father figure here today, thank you. Dad, thank you. You are needed. You are honored. And I pray that God strengthens you to keep leading, to keep loving, to keep serving. Let us be people, men, women, young and old, who honor God by serving like Jesus did. Let us go forth into the world in peace and dedicate to your service, O Lord. Let us hold fast to that which is good. Render to no person evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the needy and the afflicted. And honor all people. Let us love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of his Spirit. And may God's blessing be upon us and remain with us always. Amen.